Welcome this evening to the June 6, 2016 meeting of the Ferndale City Council. Would you rise with me as we salute our flag? And Councilmember Olson will lead us in the pledge to our flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Our city clerk, Susan Duncan, will do the roll call.
Councilmember Czar. Here. Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
I would entertain a motion to excuse Councilmember Goodrich, who asked to be excused tonight.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
So moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. And Councilmember Goodrich is excused. At this time, we have public comment. This is the time when, if there's an item that you'd like to talk about that is not on our agenda this evening, come up to the microphone, introduce yourself. You have 3 minutes. Do we have any takers this evening? In the front row there.
Can you give her instead of the taker?
You're always given.
Thank you. Wise advice. Papa John, Malloy House, 6072, Ferndale, 98248. I already gave a little caveat to one individual about my puns. This will include some people that hope it don't take it too personally, but nonetheless, they are what they are. An agnostic who says he knows nothing about God, and then when you agree with you, the problem is he becomes angry. In Florida, they use alligators to make handbags. Isn't it amazing what they can do with animals nowadays? Now this one somebody will really like. If astronauts are so smart, why do they count backwards? And then we have the food for thought part. What a person is will determine what they do. Unbelief can be irreversible. Truth in, truth out. This is our minds. Trash in, trash out. A feeling of uselessness or hopelessness or any such thing is not of God. Food for thought.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Anyone else like to speak to council this evening? Seeing none, please come forward and speak to us.
Good evening, council. Yvonne Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. Now, I know it's on the agenda, but it's an update. I'm not giving you an update on Star Park. What I want to do is just give pats on the back to some of the most amazing staff members I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. I don't get to work with you, but I do know you. Well, I work with you, Lori, on Planning Commission.
Yeah.
And you see about, what, 2,500 people? Volunteers?
We're seeing 2,200.
Okay, 2,200 volunteers show up and build this incredible, incredible park. To see community come together, to see our former mayor, Gary Jensen, set the example of what true leadership is by showing up every day around 6:30 and not leaving until the sunset every single day and staying busy and working. But I think I had the best job of all, and I do appreciate that you all gave it to me after you found out what I would do with the children. To sit and do check-in and to get to see people that when I was on council come back and be involved in community and to talk to them, and to have our planning commissioner chairperson next to me. It was an incredible experience. And when you take a look at it from Tuesday, being just a bunch of brown dirt with some little hills, or moles, or whatever you want to call them, and then walk in Wednesday morning, you see poles dumped in different holes, and they're in different designs. I thought, wow, that's pretty artistic. And I realized this is just the beginning. But then to watch the elders at the Mormon church, the four of them, show up and start doing the bark. And all of a sudden, this little 10-year-old boy. And then they're kind of like moving their wheelbarrows like that. This little 10-year-old kid shows up, and he's taking the big wheelbarrows with the heap of bark. And he's moving past them. And all of a sudden, I saw the four of them, because I was at a really good vantage point. The four of them look at each other like, we don't let that kid beat us. Then that barking project really started moving, okay? And then last night, to sit back and listen to the park open up for that little bit of time and hear all the laughing and the clapping and the community come together, it really was an incredible, incredible experience. And also, here's your cheerleader, right? Here's the guy that did everything. It didn't matter if it was gravel or bark or whatever. You guys are an amazing team, and I want you all to know that. I'd like to take you all out to dinner. I don't want to be accused of bribing you, but I want you to know how great, grateful as a community we are.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilson. I think you speak for everybody here. Any other comment? Come forward, Captain.
I'm in cahoots with Yvonne, and this is another Star Park comment. Wendy Lawrence, 6225 Argyle Street in Ferndale. Yvonne said it well. Star Park is an amazing community event, and it is awesome to see what we can do when we come together as a community, when we focus on what we have in common, which is all of us living in Ferndale, rather than spending so much time worrying about our perceived differences. But having been associated with events like this before, I know how much work it takes on the part of a staff to do something like this. It is extraordinary what you all pulled together. I mean, it really sets Ferndale apart to have a playground of that magnitude. So I commend all the staff members who were involved in this. That said, I will apologize in advance. I didn't take the time to understand what sort of employee recognition program Ferndale might have, rewards and recognition program, but I wanted to pass on some thoughts based on organizations that I've been associated with who also have been associated with projects of this magnitude. I think it's very important when you have your staff members do a special project like this that is well above their normal scope of responsibilities, that you take the time to recognize them. And there are a variety of ways that you can do that. I apologize. I don't know if your salaried employees are allowed compensatory time, comp time as it's called in the federal government, liberty for those of us who served in the military, but that's always something that is received quite well when your employees who are spending hours and hours and hours beyond the normal scope of their job, their normal working hours, and their weekends on a very hot weekend. That's a great way to do it. But there's a program at NASA that we had that I think also might be something of interest to the mayor, city administrator, and for council's consideration since it is a monetary award. We had the Going the Extra Mile Award. We called it the GEM Award. And it was for projects of this magnitude to single out employees who had clearly gone above and beyond the scope of their responsibilities in undertaking a special project of this magnitude, to recognize them for their job incredibly well done. So again, I throw that out for your consideration. If you want more background on how we implemented it, I would be happy to sit down with each and every one of you individually or collectively to explain how we did the Going the Extra Mile Award. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Please. Mr. Ballou, good to see you.
Hi, Snap. Good evening. Good to see each and every one of you. Tim Ballou, 2714 Hackson Way, Lummi Nation. Thank you for the time. I'm actually here for agenda item D, but before we get to that, I did want to take the time to invite all of the council members and your families to come out to Stalmish this weekend. Before I came to the meeting, I went and got a coffee at Woods. I want to recognize and commend you guys for the our renaming of your roads in behalf and respect for the Mosier family and the Stone family. As many of you may know, 70 years ago, one of our families hosted the first Stalmish Water Festival to honor the homecoming of our World War II veterans. At the time, over 10% of our adult population went off to fight for the country, so we share that in common. And I just commend you for honoring our World War II veterans and want to send out the invite to come to one of the many celebrations during our Stalmish Water Festival. The first starts tomorrow at noon on Quina during the Quina Mile. And I think that John holds the fastest record for an elected official.
Well, no, for the geriatric.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's many events going on during the week. It ends with the war canoe races that start Friday evening and end Sunday afternoon. So just again, I thank you for honoring our veterans, and our hands go up to you. Aisha.
Sam, thank you. Join us more often. Anyone else? Public comment? That is fantastic. Seeing none. Council, with your consent, the agenda is the same tonight. The order is a bit different. Two of the items were publicized as being 7 o'clock items, so the only thing different on the agenda in front of you is that the public hearings related to the comp plan have been put later, so that they would happen after 7 o'clock. If there is no objection, we will just, by consent, adopt the modified agenda. Having said that, is there a motion to adopt the consent agenda tonight?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Going on to the next item. Thank you, Council. Presentation from Susan Marks, Commission Against Domestic Violence. I believe you come every year, and we look forward to it. Welcome.
Thank you. I have some handouts I'm going to pass out. I didn't know about your fancy new technology. I don't know how new it is to you, but
really new.
First very time new. I saw it. Next time I'll use it. So I'm going to pass around a handout that's got some of the information I'm going to talk about, and then our roster of our current DV Commission members, which I'll refer to as well. Yeah. So I'm Susan Marks. I'm the director of the Bellingham-Whatcom County Commission Against Domestic Violence, and I come every year to give an update to the Ferndale Council. I actually talk to every council, county, and city in Whatcom County every spring, early summer to talk about our work and domestic violence in your communities and what we're doing to try to end domestic violence. I have a habit of talking really fast, so if I go really fast, ask me to slow down, and I will try, but then I'll probably pick up again, and then you can ask me to slow down again. So the Commission Against Domestic Violence, we were formed in 1998 by a joint ordinance between Whatcom County and the City of Bellingham. In 2006, ordinances of support were passed by each of the additional municipalities in Whatcom County. And our mission, our role, is to provide leadership to end and prevent and reduce domestic violence in this county. So we are working to make sure that those systemic responses, our community response, what community members know about domestic violence helps us end domestic violence, helps victims and perpetrators come forward and talk about it and get the services they need. We don't do any direct services. We don't work with victims. We don't work with children. We don't work with perpetrators. We work with lots of different community agencies and professionals who do work with those people. So we work with law enforcement and prosecutors. We work with schools and faith communities. We work with workplaces and just average community members so that when someone is experiencing domestic violence, people hopefully know what a correct response is to domestic violence. And the way we do our work, we have three staff, but our most important role is that membership roster I sent out to you. We have up to 28 commission members, and those members are all leaders in our community, which means that they have the ability to help make change happen. They have the resources, they have the connections needed. So we have county prosecutor and public defender, we have a superintendent, we have a couple police chiefs, a sheriff, we have executive directors of nonprofits, we have pastors, we have business leaders. So again, just a broad spectrum of our community, but all people who are leaders in their field. And we have several members from the community of Ferndale. Actually, we have three spots that are kind of open to be filled to represent the small cities, and all three of those are held by the city of Ferndale right now. So Mayor John Mutchler is our commission member who represents elected officials throughout the small cities of Whatcom County. Mayor Johnson held that position before him. Chief Knapp is our police chief that represents the police chiefs from the small cities. And Linda Quinn is the superintendent that represents the Whatcom County superintendent. So we have really great representation from the city of Ferndale, which is very exciting. And again, those people just really help us accomplish our mission by helping us have the influence and the connections that we need to make change. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of our projects. I think it's hard to sometimes grasp exactly what we do, so I'm going to give some examples of some of our projects to help you with that. But I want to talk just a little bit about our funding first, because we do get funding from the city of Ferndale. So we have some general operating expenses that we get basically from the city of Bellingham, Whatcom County. They're our biggest local contributors in the city of Ferndale. We also get some funding from the city of Ferndale. And that's, like I said, our general operating expenses for kind of our base projects. And then we have some special projects grant funding from the Department of Justice. We currently have three federal grants. One is kind of outgoing and one is kind of incoming to replace that. Then we have kind of another one that we've had for many years. And there's in that handout, you have one of the pages talks about how we have really been able to leverage federal funding by having a commission. We have one grant through the Department of Justice that we have gotten five times in a row. We're the only community in the nation to have gotten it five times in a row from the Department of Justice. We have another grant through the Department of Justice to work with the Ferndale School District. We're one of nine sites in the nation to get that. It was a pilot project. And out of those nine, when we reapplied for continuation of that funding, we're the only one of the nine that got the continuation funding. So the outgoing and incoming funding is related to that. So our work as a DV commission and as the work we have in Whatcom County has really helped us bring in some federal funding to address domestic violence. And some of that goes to us, and a lot of it goes to training other community professionals, to sending professionals to national trainings, bringing training from locally. And we've also provided some funding to other nonprofits. The domestic violence specialist position, for those of you who remember, who works for the five small cities and the courts, we started and funded that position for a long time through this funding. So we do get to bring in some nice federal funding based on who we are. So I want to talk through, so the other thing in your handouts, there's we have a kind of four-year strategic plan that we're in the middle of, and we have some projects, and I just want to talk about a few of our projects related to that so you can get a sense of some of the things we're doing in Whatcom County and in the city of Ferndale. So one of our projects is, or one of our goals is to engage the community to end domestic violence. And currently, one of our projects related to that is working with faith communities. And we've developed, recently we've been working on developing a toolkit for faith communities in Whatcom County about how to prevent and respond to domestic violence. And it has local statistics, it has information about what are actual words you can say to a victim and to a perpetrator and to children who are experiencing domestic violence. It has some resources like sample sermons. It has some information about correct interpretations of religious texts that would show that there's not support for abuse and there is support for freedom within relationships to be yourself. And that toolkit we're piloting in two faith communities currently, and one of those is in Ferndale to the Christ Lutheran Church in Ferndale, and the other is Christ the King Bellingham. The pilot will be wrapped up by the end of June, and then we'll be promoting it countywide. And actually, one of our partners in developing that toolkit is also the United Church of Ferndale, so Bobby Vierta, Reverend Bobby Vierta, has been very involved in helping us develop and research that toolkit. And Chief Knapp has been on that committee that's helped do that. So that's kind of one example, and it's going to be a free resource. So what we would like is every single faith community in Whatcom County to use it to be developing messages in their community about ending domestic violence, about being healthy in their relationships, and then when people come forward, providing support and resources to those people. Another one of our strategic goals is to promote best practices in our community response to end domestic violence, and specifically we're focusing on ending domestic violence homicide and lethal assaults. And so we have a couple projects under that goal. One of them is we started fall 2014 a domestic violence high-risk team, and this is a model we brought in. It's based on a model in Maryland, and there's a handful of these on the East Coast. We're the only one in Washington State, and there's one in Oregon, and I think one in California and Colorado, but so we're the only ones in Washington State, and this team is offender-focused, so it's focused on our highest-risk offenders who are most likely to commit a serious assault or DV homicide. And so since 2014, when we started this team, we have 27 offenders that are kind of being monitored by this team. And the team are, it's law enforcement, prosecutors, probation, Department of Corrections, Victim Services, and perpetrator treatment providers, and then we're leading that team. And basically they are trying to find ways to keep, to kind of keep an extra eye on that person, maybe to keep them on probation longer so they can be checking in longer, making sure they're in treatment longer, making sure that they, like through the Department of Corrections, they can be not allowed to be in a relationship. You know, so some of those different things related to those people to keep them from harming their intimate partner. And I went back and looked at our current offenders today, and we have, so far at this point, we have four of them who are have been responded to by the City of Ferndale, so in this jurisdiction, so either the Ferndale Police Department and or the Ferndale Courts have been involved in that person. So it means that that offender either lives or works or at some point has committed an act here in the city of Ferndale. And our goal with that team, some of the national teams have gone many years without a domestic violence homicide. And so our goal is to make it so that we are identifying all our highest risk offenders, have them monitored, have them, you know, kind of on our radar, have them getting higher bail, longer jail times, more probation times, and helping them change their behaviors, hopefully in the long term. Then another one of our goals is to increase our community capacity to impact domestic violence as it impacts children and youth. This is really about prevention. It's the more we can do around children and youth, healthy relationships, that's really where we're going to end domestic violence and stop that cycle. And so we have several projects related to that. One of the grant projects that I mentioned, where we were one of 9 sites in the nation through the Ferndale School District, has been funding a lot of this work. And then the grant that we got that we will be starting in the fall actually continues our work in the Ferndale School District. It allows us to work with elementary schools in addition to middle and high schools, and also allows the work we've done in Ferndale to be extended into the Blaine and Mount Baker school districts. So we'll be kind of expanding our reach. And one project we did as a part of that grant was in the fall in September. We had a youth summit, and the youth from Ferndale helped us. Actually, it was their idea, and then they helped us plan it, and then they helped us promote it, and they did some designing around the logo and the name of, they came up with the name Our Gender Revolution based on some national programs. And they also, we provide them some curricula, and they learned and practiced and led some of the sessions, which was really exciting to see the youth leading sessions for other youth. So at that summit, we had more than 130 different youth attend, and we had 11 different schools, including the 4 Ferndale schools, and 22 adult advisors so that they could support those youth back in their school communities. And one of the things they did there was the youth created action plans for their school, and their advisors were helping them implement some of those changes in their schools. So some of the things they wanted to do was have a campaign about, how do we talk kindly to each other? What do we do if we see someone bullying someone else? What do we do if we think a friend is being in an emotional relationship? How do we change words so that the words that we use are not words that could be harmful to someone else who's different than us? So they came up with some really interesting ideas about how to have kind of campaigns around abuse and harassment in their schools. So that was one of those projects. We did many projects related to that grant and have more coming, but that was one of the kind of most exciting things, was to have all those youth together. It's actually really fun to be all their energy and their, you know, and interacting with each other and talking about healthy relationships and talking about ending abuse and really believe that they can, which makes us believe that they can. So that was really exciting, and also that it all came out of the city of Ferndale. So those are just kind of, like I said, those are our 3 primary strategic goals, a little about each of those projects, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or take any comments about any of those.
City Council, Councilmember Watson.
What kind of programs do you have for women who might not have English as their first language?
Good question. So actually, one of the things that we have not been good at that we requested funding for in our next grant with schools is to have funding for translation interpretation, mm-hmm. so that when we have events, when we put out materials, things can be translated into other languages throughout the county so that people can access that information. We also are working with, so Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Services, the partner of ours, provides a lot of and they currently use the language line. And we have been working with them and some of the courts about how to find ways to identify interpreters who know how to translate the language related to domestic violence, not just words, but really understand issues that they're translating in ways that just are more empathetic and fit within both culture and language and domestic violence. So we have sent some people to a training in Seattle related to that recently, about a month ago, some court clerks and some advocates, and we're helping them kind of think about how to go back to the courts and the agencies to ensure that their interpreting is better and solid.
Because I'm also concerned for people who, if English isn't your first language, you can be very isolated, and so you wouldn't necessarily know how to report that someone was hurting you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you wouldn't know, right, it would be harder to reach out and report, it would be harder to reach out for services, it would be harder to get a protection order. And then, all of these places have interpreters, but
you have to know.
Quality is really important, and nuance is really important when it comes to domestic violence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Other questions, Ms. Marks? Susan and I met about a month and a half, 2 months ago, which led to a second visit today with Mr. Sweeney, and we know that our communications apparatus is best in the state, so we hope to use social media. I like your vision of eliminating domestic violence, eliminating abuse from Ferndale.
Yeah.
That's a fabulous goal that I think we all want to work.
Yeah, so we want Ferndale to be the leader in the state and the county.
We're going
to
do it.
In eliminating domestic violence. So, I definitely appreciate the financial support we get from you, but I also appreciate this kind of other support that you can provide by using your communications and connections to get to our community.
Please come back.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Council. Moving on, we have a Polk Road vacation petition, which is a public hearing. We'll be explaining that in a little bit, probably followed by an executive session. I believe that our tired out
worn down, rather hardworking community development director, Jordan Burnett, is in charge of this one.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Community Development Director Yori Burnett. City Attorney Dana Trexler is also here, as is Katie Ratter, who is representing Public Works. So what we have in front of you is a request from the Lemmy Nation, which, as you know, has purchased property within the city of Ferndale and has subsequently petitioned to the federal government to turn it into trust. That petition was successful, and it is now held in trust status. Within that area, the city still owns two public streets. One of them is Rural Avenue, which runs from north to south. The other one is Cope Road, which stretches from rural to the east, and then from rural to the west. The Lemmy Nation has petitioned to the city of Ferndale that the city vacate that portion of Cope Road west of Rural Avenue. So to be clear, the vacation request is only for that area west of Rural, not that area of Cope Road that is east of Rural, more adjacent to the freeway. What does vacation mean? Vacation means that the city would relinquish the public's rights to that area for eternity, essentially, where the city would give up all of its rights. The Lemmy Nation has followed all the procedural requirements of a vacation pursuant to the Revised Code of Washington or the RCW. This hearing is the ultimate end of that discussion at the city level, wherein the city is required to hold a public hearing after receiving the petition. A notice has been sent out and notices have been placed on the properties that are affected. After reviewing the request for petition, your city staff and the city attorney believe that the vacation should be denied. We recommend that it be denied primarily based on our belief that the vacation does not pass the public benefit test. That is there a remaining public benefit to Cope Road? Or can we determine that there is and will not be a benefit to keeping Cope Road as a public right-of-way? We feel that at this time, June 6, 2016, there are still questions that need to be resolved or information that needs to be provided and certainty that needs to be provided before we can recommend to you or tell you that the city will not have any expectation of having any public use of that street, either as a street, a utility corridor, right-of-way, emergency access in the future. Based on that, we feel that the discussion is actually quite simple. Since we cannot say that there will be no public benefit, we do not believe that the street should be vacated at this time. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. And again, we have Ms. Traxler and Ms. Ratter here as well.
And Council, this is a public hearing, so questions at this time are of a technical questioning kind of nature of our staff. And having said that, are there any questions of Mr. Burnett? Councilmember Hanson.
Are there currently utilities under that section of Cope Road?
Good evening, Council. Katie Ratter, Public Works Project Manager. And to answer your question, no, there are no existing utilities under that section of Cope Road at this point.
There is an overhead power.
Oh, city utilities.
Yeah, city there's an overhead power line that led to what I assume were the homes at the end of that street. But as far as city utilities,
no water, no sewer.
Exactly.
Other questions? Councilman Lazar.
Would it make a difference if those properties were combined into one property?
Not necessarily, because they are still owned separately from the city. And as we say in the staff report, our streets are really the corridors through which utilities and roads and all that go through. And almost by definition, they are bordered by property under different ownership. Now, whether that other ownership is the same ownership or not does not matter as much, because those are the corridors, the most efficient way that the city or other utilities can deliver services where, you know, certainly, yes, there are probably lesser alternatives like easements that could be established in lieu of that, but having a public right-of-way that the city owns, that the city maintains, is much more efficient for the public to be able to get in and maintain access as compared to going over private property and essentially asking permission to remove whatever might be.
The council members. Councilmember Taylor.
How many years has it been since those homes were utilized on that street? How long has that road not really been used?
I think that the proponents might be able to answer that more accurately, but it was annexed into the city in 2010, I believe, and I believe that it was within the last couple years, maybe 3 years, since the last home was removed from it.
Questions of staff from City Council before we open the public hearing. All right, seeing none, this is a public hearing, and our City Clerk, Susan Duncan, will read the rules that are related to a public hearing.
A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the Council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the City Clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you were unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals support the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group.
Thank you. We will go in order, and when you come up, just again introduce yourself and where you're from. Kirk Vinish is first. Welcome.
My name is Kirk Vinish, 2828 Quina Road, Lovey Nation. We have some written comments we'd like to submit.
Please.
And just have a brief comment for you regarding this project. All of you have had the opportunity to look at the maps for the project area, and maybe you have been following the efforts by the city and by the proponents, the Lovey Nation, Whatcom County, and all the study team members who are studying improvements to the Quina, or rather the Slater Road corridor of the site. So we gave you, some of you, a briefing at a committee meeting, so you had some idea of what's going on with the interchange and the roundabouts associated with that interchange. Here's my point I'm getting to. If you look at the roundabout at Rural Avenue, you visualize that in your mind. I'm submitting as another written submittal a product produced by the engineers of record, Parametrics. And so we'll send it with you. I've only given you one set, but here's the point. No matter which roundabout design you go with that the state team picks, all of them will preclude access to Cope Road at this location. So it doesn't matter how you do the design, you'll preclude that connection. I talked to the engineers of record about moving the intersection north. You wouldn't be able to move it north far enough to preclude that cutting off of Cope Road. And you'll notice in the drawings that I've submitted to you that they show a connection having to be rebuilt. That connection would have to be rebuilt through the proponent's land, through trust land. And if they were unwilling to do that, you still end up with essentially vacating the road because no one would get access to it from that point forward. So I think it bears on your deliberations that that's in the public interest to see that roundabout constructed, regardless of what happens in the area. And so it's in your interest not to have to rebuild that roadway that you may not be able to rebuild anyhow. There's another benefit to you in the immediate future, which is that the moment you vacate it, you're no longer having to maintain it. I don't know if you've been maintaining it much right now in any case, but that is another kind of public benefit to you. So I just wanted to offer those comments to you for your consideration.
Any questions, Mr. Minich?
Quick question. Question more for staff. The letter on top, I didn't get a copy of this letter until just now.
Sure.
From Mr. Ballou, Chairman Ballou?
Right. This packet was just delivered now. We've not seen this or received this prior.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Chairman Ballou is next. Welcome. Again.
Members of council, again, thank you for the time. I asked Kirk to hand that out because I was reading through the your rules for public hearing, and I noticed that the written materials were asked to be submitted before the hearing begins. So, explanation of why Kirk handed out the packet. I am here to reiterate the request to vacate the dead-end portion of Cope Road, as well as, for the record, make the statement that this is the second time, actually, that the nation has submitted a request for vacating the road. And both times, I believe, that the tribe has met all the requirements of the state for a road vacation request. And really asking for the good faith effort of the city to consider the request and, in my opinion, work with the tribe to make a good step at revitalizing our economy. A good portion of my responsibility is to make sure to look out for the best interest of the community, as well as, in all honesty, we're going through, we're just finishing the graduation season, regardless of where we live. One of the things that keep me awake at night is the fact that over the next 10 years, we have 2,000 people entering the workforce age. And that's just in Lummi alone. And I'm pretty sure it's the same in many communities. That means, to me, there's a need for increasing, finding 2,000 jobs for our young people. And really, a big part of what's going to help revitalize our economy is the creation of new jobs, and that's what this first phase of the Salish Village is intended to do. Both provide an anchor for the community. I have 1 minute left. Anchor for the community, as well as provide jobs, not just for Lummi, but continuing our history of providing jobs for the greater community. Currently, we generate, combined through our tribal entities, 5,000 jobs, and more than half of those go to communities outside of Lummi. And this project will be no different. And we really think that, if planned properly, it's the road vacation will help the project, and we're asking the city to take a step together to revitalizing the economy. It's your right to grant the road vacation. It's also your right to deny it. If you deny it, we'll build it anyway. And I do want to make a point. I do know that it looks like I have 1 minute left. I also want to put on record that after reading the staff recommendation, it seems that a big portion of the recommendation to deny the permit is based on the fact that the civil jurisdiction lies with the tribe, and that there's a concern that Ferndale citizens will not get treated fairly by tribal law enforcement. I take offense to that. I take issue with that. That's just like any other elected official questioning the integrity of Ferndale PD. I wouldn't go as far as doing that, and I asked the city to look past that and to step together towards revitalizing our economy. Aishka.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't recall that emphasis, law enforcement, in any of the staff reports or any conversation, I assure you. And there is great respect between jurisdictions.
I didn't see that either, sir.
Yeah. If you could find it, you show it to me. I'd like to take a look.
Absolutely, it's in the PDF version that's online.
That'd be great. Thank you. I appreciate you being here today. Really do.
Thank you.
Is it James Stroud? Please, you're next. Thank you for coming.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for having me. My name is James Stroud. 4816 Columbus Avenue, 9829. I'm an attorney in the Office of the Reservation Attorney for the Lummi Nation. I appear before you today to speak on behalf of the Lummi Nation. And I just wanted to clarify one of the points that the chairman just made. It was a part in the staff report that talks about civil jurisdiction, and there being a concern on the part of the staff that subjecting subjecting Ferndale residents to the civil jurisdiction of the Lummi Nation may not be in the public interest. And there's an implication there that it's offensive. And I think we can leave it at that for now.
We'll take a look. Thank you.
All right. The Lummi Nation respectfully requests that the city vacate the right-of-way for this section of Cope Road. It's a dead-end portion of the road. It's no longer a useful part of the road system, and it no longer benefits the traveling public. The public will be benefited from anticipated future development of this property. Benefits are certain to accrue to the city, the county, and the region. Thoughtful development will provide increased revenues and job opportunities for the city as well as the Lummi Nation for many years to come. The reason we handed out this packet is because we wanted to provide a little context. When you look at the staff report, it's a little bit misleading. This is because originally on March 4th, 2015, the Lummi Nation petitioned the city of Ferndale to vacate the right-of-way for this road. And this is all in the packet. It's in the cover letter. The first response, first you'll see our request, and we cite the RCW. We include the property description. We include the drawing. Ferndale's initial response came from the assistant city administrator, city clerk designee, Sam Taylor. And Mr. Taylor said, we don't think the tribe owns this land. It's held in trust. You need the federal government to ask for it, or you need their permission. Again, it's a little insulting. We took issue with it, but that was the answer. Then the next answer was, you need to get the feds to ask, or the feds need to give you permission. So as you see from our more recent request, we actually went to the Bureau. The Bureau disagreed with that interpretation of the law, but nonetheless supported our request and requested on their own behalf. The same day, we received a communication from Greg Young, city administrator. This letter is a little bit more detailed, and you can read it for yourself. But basically, it lays out the fact that the city of Ferndale had concerns about vacating this property because of a desire to get taxes and a desire to get fees. And the author made it clear that, you know, usually when the city is dealing with a developer, the city knows it's going to get certain property taxes or maybe sales taxes or different impact fees from the development anticipated. And the letter makes clear that this is not the case with Lummi. The situation is different. And for these reasons, the city of Ferndale has no interest in transferring public lands to the Lummi Nation. That makes, some would say that's an improper motive, that you shouldn't hold up a road vacation because you want to get tax dollars or some sort of financial benefit from the development. So that causes some concern. Then we got one more communication from the city. This is from the former mayor. And here, this is the last tab in your documents. And this is it talks about the fact that Lummi and City of Ferndale have negotiated over tax revenues. Lummi and the city have talked about ways to structure the relationship so that all parties can benefit, so that development can proceed in an orderly fashion that benefits everyone. And at the very end, the author says, items on the table to achieve this. The first one is vacation of the short dead-end section of Cope Road in exchange for a share of gas sales. You can't get much more explicit than that. The message is, we'll vacate the road for you if you give us gas sales. And I would say that that's bad faith, that's improper, and you can't do that. It's unacceptable. If you want to deal honorably, if you want to negotiate one-on-one, that's fine. But don't try to hold up this process in order to get what you want on the tax revenue side. Again, I think in the past, Lummi and Ferndale worked together, and I think there's a huge desire to work cooperatively moving forward. But I don't think it's proper to deny this request because you think it's a way to gain leverage in a tax-sharing negotiation. And I'm afraid that that's what's happening, and I think that these communications provide some pretty good evidence of that. I urge the City Council to address this issue in an honorable manner and grant our reasonable request.
Council, any questions of Mr. Stroud?
Thank you.
See you now.
Mr. Jefferson.
Richard Jefferson's next.
Richard Jefferson, 3037 Loamy Shore Road. I'm the CEO of the Loamy Commercial Company and former planning director for the tribe. One of the issues you're going to face is in the parking lot where you have, should we build this fuel station we plan on building. All the property owned by Loamy will be under Loamy jurisdiction, little strip 40 feet wide. Under Ferndale's jurisdiction, if you have an incident in the parking lot, the first thing you got to do is figure out who has jurisdiction. If you cross jurisdiction, then you got multi-agencies involved in the jurisdiction. I do want to say that the young lady from the Ferndale Police Department that did the investigation when the house burned down and we lost the life out there, I was pretty impressed. She did a great job. Being the planning director, I got called out when that happened with just that. Who owns what property, legal descriptions, determine who had jurisdiction. Going to be and even on the reservation. Who owns the right-of-way, where the property lines, who has jurisdiction to deal with. Many times, many investigations where it's called out with easier with iPads now, right? I can pull that out, but back then, you know, you bring a piece of paper, right-of-way maps. Also want to say that tribe's going to build a real estate development project here. You guys can be in on a share of it. Right now, if you go down to Seattle Premium Outlets, count license plates, you're looking at 50% Canadian, but the actual dollar sales, about 80%. We're hoping to stop a big portion of that. And I know the governor told Gary, previous mayor, that their plan was to offer Tulalip in that lawsuit all of the county and all of the city share of the tax. Our last offer was to share half of it with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Jefferson? Seeing none. And Mr. J. Julius is with us.
You're next.
Okay. That's it. That's it from your list. Anyone else from the public like to speak to City Council? Please come forward. Give us your name.
Hi. My name is Chuck Hamstreet. I live at 4717 Rural Avenue, which 10 acres in the back portion, just so everybody is clear, my property adjoins this property. The other 8 acres are unincorporated Whatcom County. It's a split piece. It's very unusual. And I applaud what Loamy Nation is the Goldens. I have no problem against their development or anything else. But I am looking at this, and I saw the sign today, and it was down in the grass, which has grown since they put it up. I said, holy cow. So I started looking online, and I'm going, okay, so we're going to put a roundabout at Rural and Slater. And I travel this road many times a day. I train puppies for service work, so I'm in and out all the time. And I'm watching these trucks go to Canfor USA, going down Rural Avenue. They come to that first right-hand corner, and I either have to hit the ditch or they're halfway off the road trying to make a right-hand turn with a truck and trailer. So I'm thinking, how do you come off a roundabout, come onto Rural Avenue, and within 60 feet make an immediate right-hand turn? In their drawing here, they show still utilizing Cope Road for the entrance to their project. If they did that, half their pup, their second trailer, would still be in the roundabout. While you're trying to negotiate 80,000 pounds of liquid fuel sloshing around, you know, so they're going to have to creep in here. And like we said earlier, we're going to do it anyway. they're going to build a new driveway anyway because this isn't going to work. And that's good, thoughtful thinking. I mean, you look down the road, you come right this, here's a problem. So we move the driveway further south, give them time to stabilize their load, put another lane in to make the right-hand turn gently into the problem. I just don't think this is finished yet. And I need more information before I can support it. That's all I'm saying. The idea is great. Everything about it, to me, makes sense of the Lummi Nation trying to develop this area, bring in some income for their people, and do a good thing. But we're not there yet on this corner design, and the roundabout isn't designed, and I'm still confused as to, you know, what is the right and wrong way here, but whether you vacate Cope Road or not doesn't mean much at this state time. What I need to know is how this is going to work efficiently for a truck fueling stop, how the traffic gets in and out, so it doesn't affect me as a neighbor. It's, other than that, I'll support it all I can. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with staff, Mr. Burnett, would you just take 30 seconds to explain the council's decision to do an interstate sort of master plan study that might be helpful to him?
Sure. The Lummi Nation has, as you know, undertaken quite a bit of analysis to determine what sorts of transportation improvements are necessary to, at a minimum, serve the potential development that you see in your staff report or one like it. I don't know that there are tenants lined up yet, but a conceptual design. The city staff has sought to ask whether or not that analysis looks beyond the Lummi Nation's development to more of a full build-out or a fuller build-out of the entire transportation basin so that the Lummi Nation, Port of Bellingham, Whatcom County, City of Bellingham, and WashDOT can allocate the funding that WashDOT has granted due in part or primarily from the Lummi Nation's efforts to seek that funding, but to make sure that funding is allocated in the most responsible manner for the long term. So what the city has done is we have moved forward with the Transpo Group, our transportation consultants, who are working very closely and very well with the Lummi Nation's transportation consultants, Gibson Traffic, to determine, has the analysis looked at everything that it needed to? And then once that's done, we can really start talking about what sort of systems we're looking at or if there's a roundabout necessary. For instance, in our comprehensive plan, we don't anticipate a roundabout at Rural. We don't know if there's going to be one necessary. So we'll go from there once we get out.
So is it fair to say that before we, all of us, spend $20-some million on traffic improvements there, that we're going to benefit everybody as much as we can?
I think that would be our goal, and I think it's everyone's goal.
Are there others that would like to speak during the public hearing? I don't have anyone else on the list. Mrs. Goldsmith.
Vaughn Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. You're talking. Please. You stated that there was some verbiage in there that insulted you, but just sitting there right now in the audience, you made a statement that whether you get it or not, you're going to build it. And that's insulting to me as a citizen. We're trying to work with you, and you're already saying we're going to build it. And you say that we're threatening you by asking for fees, taxes or fees. And yet when I sit on the Planning Commission and I find out about when we need to have wetlands, we can go to the tribe and pay, what was it, $300,000?
I'm not sure precisely what I think
it was. A big figure, okay? And I will say, I sat down the other day because I really wanted to understand the Lummi Business Council. And our councilwoman, Taylor, Teresa, sat down with me and tried to draw it out. It is incredible what the nation has done. The best thing they did was they put in the infrastructure. And out of that infrastructure, they built this organization. And I'm asking that the Planning Commission have a presentation by Councilwoman Taylor so we can understand it better. But when you say we, the city, has insulted over words, I think the statement tonight that was said, basically, whether we get it or not, we're going to build it, is insulting to me.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to the council before we close the public hearing?
I just wanted to add, too, that during the whole interchange justification process, we've ran through with members of the Lummi Nation various scenarios as to what a series of roundabouts could look like. And one of the things that the city wanted to do but up until now has not been fleshed out completely is the actual location of the roundabouts. There is no reason why a roundabout at Rural and Slater has to physically be in a straight line with where Rural and Slater intersect. Many of the iterations of the Salish Village had different configuration of roads. I bring this up only because there's a possibility, and I brought this up in my staff report, that we could lease not only the short portion of Cope Road, but indeed the longer portion of Cope Road to the nation for their use. Under that concept, I would envision the possibility of moving the short section of Cope Road, moving the long section of Cope Road, perhaps putting the roundabout further on to the Salish Village property or something like that. So I guess I did not want to have anyone believe that it was at least my thought, or at least there have not been discussions, that Cope Road in both the short and long version would stay untouched, would have to be worked around any configuration. It's quite conceivable that through negotiation and a new legal description, either section of Cope Road, portions or all, could be reconfigured to fit into whatever roundabout configuration and whatever development scenario works best for the nation. So we're not wedded to where Cope Road is. It's just the concept that right now, given the speculative nature of their development and perhaps the ability for it to morph over time physically, that the retention of right-of-way with the idea of being able to move it to better suit both the public's purposes as well as the nation purposes is something that I've always considered. So I don't want you to think that the current configuration is something that would necessarily have to be there forever.
So, Council, a number of directions you can go. Council can discuss in open session here some of the details and probably have some questions as well. Thank you. We will close the public hearing at whatever time the clock says. 6:58. We do have an executive session scheduled, and the content of the executive session will be that which is legal under the law to discuss outside of the public view. We can do a combination of both. We're looking for direction from Council. What is your pleasure this evening? Councilmember Taylor.
If we could have our attorney step up to the microphone, there's been discussion about myself being recused from the executive session. And I would like to have it go on record why.
Dan and Chuck, our city attorney. So I'll just say the same thing that I said in committee. The Councilmember Taylor and I did meet and discuss her role in these discussions, and I did advise that she recused based on her employment with the Lummi Nation.
And, Council, I hope you'll indulge personal reflection on this matter with huge respect that I have for Councilman Taylor. You all know that I pastor a church up at the corner of Church and Broken Road. And I've considered, what if our church was at a point where it wanted to purchase the quarter of land up there, and we were going to put some kind of campus. We purchased all the land and all the houses, and we needed Grouse Circle, which is a very small road that wouldn't be used by anybody else. If the church came to use to ask for the vacationing of that road, I believe I would need to recuse myself from all those proceedings. I also believe that any member of my church would need to do the same thing, and I encourage them to do such, and that those types of negotiations would have to take place outside of those of us that are elected officials and share a shared capacity with the church. So I think it's kind of a similar, very similar type of a situation. So
Thank you. Councilmember Watson.
I would prefer we use our legal option and use an executive session, personally.
At this time. Would that be the pleasure of the rest of council?
Let me read the exact instructions here. Pursuant to RCW 4230.110C, we will now enter executive session to discuss potential real estate transaction. This session will last approximately 20 minutes. Action may be taken after the session. Council will be dismissed into the jury room back there, and if it's longer than 20 minutes, we will come back and let you know. Thank you.